The problem is, who's going to run all this stuff? You know, I've always believed that there's this massive separation between the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as human beings, there are a lot of greedy people out there, Damon. And whether they run countries or corporations or what, they want first, and then maybe others will have it after them. Who's going to run all this in a one-world order?
Well, I'm not sure. I think that's something for us to talk about. I think we need to talk about it. I think all of us, you know, we're all familiar with the John Lennon song "Imagine," right? John Lennon imagines a world where we all live as one, and where we put aside our differences and our no need for, you know, the flags and this kind of incessant kind of nationalism. Certainly we owe allegiance to our countries and the histories of our countries, but I think we also, in a greater context, when we look at our world, and there was that one moment in time where I forget what spacecraft it was, and I know someone on your show knows what it is. I'm not, but that moment in time, you know what I'm talking about, when they had that first photo of the Earth from outer space, and it changed the entire perspective for all of us.
One of the Apollo missions before we landed on the moon.
Well, look at that. All of us, and now with Google or Google Maps, in a moment we can pull up something on the internet and see any place in the whole world. You know, we owe an allegiance that we are all a part of a human family, and I think that's also important. Yes, individual sovereignty is important, but what about our global sovereignty? What about the allegiance that we owe to one another? Can we put aside our differences? Can we put aside our need to force religions on other cultures?
We can't do it now. Look at the United Nations. They can't control anything. We have wars, famine.
It's true.
It's a disaster. Now, maybe the only way it could be put under one umbrella is economically.
Well, that would be a good start, I suppose, right? I mean, a collapse of a global system, and then you have a new currency, and then you have kind of a shared values increasingly and shared economics, and maybe you might be able to move towards it in that regard. Now, we put on the web a link that's on your website right now with a 14-day timeline where we lay out, you know, how this kind of a global collapse might unfold. So that's interesting to take a look at. We figured that you come out of this thing, you might see a new currency, as we said, new shared economics, and that the motto on that currency, which is kind of crazy, would be pluris familius unus familius pluris, which is one serving many, many serving one. And this would be the kind of the new coin of the realm for a global currency, shared currency.
What happens to the Federal Reserve under that kind of scenario? All gone?
Well, I guess they don't have as much meaning, or perhaps they expand. You know, it becomes more the global reserve, and we figured that what would come out of this would be something called the Global Unification Exchange System. We write about this in the book, or called GYES, the Global Unification Exchange System, and they mandate that all countries around the world cease printing, no longer print any money, and that you come under a global debt reset, where all debt is basically reset, and a new currency is issued. So I think you have a reserve, a global reserve than the Federal Reserve, where they may merge their authority with the IMF. I think that would be more logical.
By the way, you're in Seattle, and we're on our new affiliate there now, KIRO FM 97.3, huge station for us.
Oh, sure, Cairo. Yeah, I know Cairo. Good station. Good people over there. Yep.
So, you know, when I was younger, I would look at the Star Trek movies in the TV show. And I'd say, you know what, a federation is pretty darn cool. You've got all these different groups together, but they're together. And I kept saying to myself, Damon, why can't we do this on this planet? And I just kept coming back to the greed factor, that there's somebody out there that's going to screw it up. I don't know why I feel that way, but I do.
Well, I think you're right. I think it is our greed. I think it's also our fear. It's our fear of one another. It's our fear of trusting one another. It's our fear of what we might lose. We most people, I think, go through life fearing what they might lose, looking at what they don't have, rather than being grateful for what they do have. They live out of that scarcity mentality their whole lives.
There's no question the American way that we've been living will be gone under this scenario. There's no way we can buy two cars, plasma screens, and a lot of house
things. About that. A new world order could actually usher in a period of prosperity like nothing we've ever seen. It's the transition to it that might be difficult. I'm not so sure about that. But you go back to the Star Trek thing, and it's interesting talking about Star Trek in Seattle, because, of course, in Seattle we have Paul Allen, you know, which is big, and the name of his big investment firm is Vulcan Ventures. So that permeates the culture out here. From what I understand, Bill Gates, campaigned pretty hard to keep Star Trek Voyager on in the local market.
old Paul bought a company in St. Louis, Charter Communications, years ago, and that thing went belly up, and it's out of bankruptcy, and he lost most of his holdings.
He hasn't done, as an investor, Paul hasn't quite clicked as well
hitting
the lottery with Bill Gates.
He has lost more money than most people ever could imagine in his outside side investments.
I know.
Had he just kept the money in a CD, he would have done better.
Well, there are a lot of Microsoft employees in the same, after 10 years of Microsoft stock performance, they're in the same boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, what were some of the other things of Star Trek? Because I love Star Trek. And one of the other things was about interference and was about not interfering with other cultures' progress, right? And
but
not giving them warp technology and kind of non-cultural interference. Had we practiced that over the last 100, 200, 300 years, I think there'd be a lot more peace and prosperity in the world. And that's something that I think that we have to think about as we move forward. No culture should seek to superimpose itself on another culture. No religion should seek to superimpose itself on another religion.